this morning. You can ask Maria, this is a great treat. We're having a Yandre. And this morning when we in the beforehand, when we were just praying together, some of the guys, as we were praying for them, for him, it says, so this was the prayer that came out. Thank you, Father, for Yandre. Thank you that his life and that which he lives out is exactly the message that he wants to preach. Thank you for a man that doesn't say one thing and live another thing. And Yandre has been amongst us for many years, and we've had the privilege not just to hear him, but to see him in the way that he lives. And he's an example. He's an example to all, both outside of the church and inside of the church. And so it's with pleasure, man, that we want to hear you. We want to hear you. So, Father, I thank you for Yandre. I thank you for his life, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the message that you formed in him, Father, not just in speech, but in life. And Father, we want to open our hearts to him and receive what you want to speak through him. Bless him, Jesus. Amen.
Okay, thanks, Carla. Just if I put the mic too close or too far, just guide me. Yes, the worship was so awesome this morning. I just want to stay in that, in the Lord's presence. Yes, he was really present here this morning. We had a healing. We had so much word coming out. Prayer meeting was awesome. And usually I start weeping when I feel the Holy Spirit. And this morning was just next level. I could just feel that he's here. I don't know if it's just because I'm preaching. If someone else felt it like I did, but wow. It was cool. I really hope as I share that the Holy Spirit would continue to move in our hearts and deposit in your hearts what I felt to share. And we shared a song, We Won't Hold Back What Belongs to You. It was part of one of our songs. And that's significant, eh? That we won't hold back what belongs to Jesus. I'll get into that more. But yeah, if you don't know me, my name is Yandre, and I've been part of Joff's Chain for about 6 years now. And I just quickly want to share my testimony as it'll have some significance of what I'm going to share. So I grew up in Kimberley in the Northern Cape, right in the middle of South Africa, in a Christian home. However, I knew about God, but I never knew God personally when I was growing up, when I was at school. I was addicted to alcohol since I was 15. I was sexually immoral, very sinful. I had two older brothers, or I still have them. and they were just champions, hey? And I just wanted to be like them one day, but they were also very sinful. So I was just wanting to eat their mark that they're eating. And then my middle brother, Ludolf, went to university in 2008. And his life got changed radically. Like, the Lord just met him in an instant. And he came home for about 4 or 5 times a year. And each time he came home, I could see, yes, this is a different person. Something significant changed in him. He just does life completely different to what he used to do. And as time went on, he would just start sharing the gospel with us, with me and my oldest brother. We were still very lost. And just asking us questions. Do you really know Jesus? Do you really have a relationship with him? Do you know what it is? And that just started scratching our hearts. We were very religious at the time. And eventually it literally became such, his life was so beautiful that we couldn't deny wanting to follow Jesus. We were so, so sinful. It's, yes. Yeah, the Lord gives each one of us an opportunity to follow him, eh? It's such a privilege to know him and to sit here. So his life was so reflecting Jesus. We hungered to have what he has. We wanted his life that he had in his heart. So me and my oldest brother, in a space of about 6 months, decided to give our lives to Jesus because of that. Ever since, it's been an awesome time. And we are so close together now, and God is present in our lives. And I just want to honor my middle brother. Like, he's not here, but just for the life that he lived. I want to share on that this morning. Because he followed Jesus well, it led to us repenting. So I want to ask us this morning, do we live a life of following Jesus? What does our lives look like? And I'm going to run through a bunch of scriptures and ask a few questions. And I really trust that the Holy Spirit would stir our hearts and would touch us. And as I share this, I'm not perfect. but Jesus is perfect and the Word is perfect. And this is all coming from the Word. So if you can please get up the first scripture one. So if we look at the early church, the disciples gave their whole lives to follow Jesus. They gave absolutely everything. So the scripture, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. If you can have the next one as well, please. And he, Jesus, died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake has died and was raised. So Jesus came and he bought our lives with a price so that we can live for him, not for ourselves. And he didn't come and buy our lives 50%, 80%, 99%. He bought our whole lives. And how are we responding with that? We've been singing all these worship songs this morning and we can feel the Lord and it's awesome worshiping him. But how are we responding to that? Are we living a life that has been bought? Or do we still live our own life? Do we still keep it for ourselves? If we are lucky, we're going to have about 80 years to live on earth. And we literally get one chance. And how are we going to use that? How are we going to respond with our lives to Jesus? When we die, what do you want to be remembered for? None of us know when our time is going to come. but do we want to be remembered for following God faithfully, for serving him with everything we have, giving our time, giving our efforts to him? Or are we looking at having success in our jobs, retiring one day, having kids, getting married? Those worldly things, like just what do we want to live up to? What is our lives reflecting as we sit here? We must try and live a life that's devoted to see the church come into what it is supposed to be. That's what it's all about. Jesus bought us so that we can see a healthy church coming. And the church is the way that the world will be reached with the gospel. If you can maybe put up the next scripture. You guys still with me? Okay. So Luke 6, verse 43 and 45. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasures produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. So what your heart is full of, your mouth will flow over with. Wat die hart van vol is, aan die mond van oorloop. I have the privilege to be married. And I recently listened to a preach from Len Dijssel from Swellendam. And this was very funny. He had a saying, he was referring to his wife. He has a 9 mil and she's called beautiful. Meaning that she kills his flesh. And also have the privilege to be married, and it is true. If it isn't like that, you should be killing each other's flesh. And just for this, what is your mouth full of? The last week, the last month, the last year, what's dominating what's coming out of your lips? So Amaria and I usually sit and just ask, listen, what do you hear coming out of our mouth? Just to test. Just that there's where are we at, and if we're off, I know, yes, I can come back, and I can realign. And it's not always a lack of question to ask. It's not always to, I'm actually off. But we need to make sure we're on track. So test yourself. What's coming out of your mouth? Shaul also just sometimes ask us, hey man, what have you been thinking about? And it just makes me think, so what am I thinking about? What's consuming my heart? Is it Jesus? Is it seeking Him? Like, life is difficult sometimes. We have challenges, but are we still looking for Him? Are we trying to find Him? Are we putting our lives in a way to follow Him? Jesus asked us something very significant. If you can put up the next scripture. He commanded us to go out and disciple the whole world. So Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then, very important, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is sort of the ultimate before Jesus leaves. It's quite a big moment. He tells his disciples, go out and make disciples of all the nations. And he tells us, I'm with you. And just, are we doing it? It's sort of a simple question for me to ask, and I want to challenge us with this. Are we doing it? Are we making disciples in the way that we live? Does your life reflect making disciples? Are you doing effort to equip yourself to make disciples? Like, when you get saved, it's like, shucks, what now? How do I do it? But all of us have something to share, and as soon as we step out and we open our hearts, Jesus can help us. He can lead us to go and make disciples. And we have each other. Are you sharing the gospel with other people? Like, when last have you shared the gospel with someone? Are there recent testimonies? Is it not just testimonies of 5, 6 years back, 10 years back, that you've last shared the gospel with someone? And there is actually something significant happening. And you can feel where the Lord is with you when you share the gospel. Just something, sometimes we think, yes, if we share the gospel, someone must get saved now. And we have that expectation, and it's a massive scripture, like it's a massive command. Go and make disciples, and we want to see people get saved. And in scripture, we usually just see the short versions of what happened. We don't always know what, it's important to read it in context, but just reading it, you don't always realize what time is connected to the events. Sometimes things are instantaneous, a miracle happens, or someone gets saved, someone turns to the Lord. Other times it's years. For me, since my brother started preaching to me, it was 4 years since after then I just turned my heart to Jesus. So, we need to sow seeds, guys. Jesus will come, He will water it, He will grow it, He will bring salvation. I just quickly want to share a testimony. So, about a month and a half ago, we had a meeting with Kala as the deacons, and he said, "Guys, what testimonies do we have evangelizing to the world?" And just for us to pray again, Lord, give us opportunity to share the gospel. And about 2 weeks ago, we had someone at work that's been doing brain profiling tests to see, how do we fit in our job role? Is your job role correct for you, and how's it going to work? And as it started off, I was like skeptical. I don't like these personality tests and these sort of things. It's weird for me. I just don't like it. My wife likes it, but I don't. And so this lady starts off with questions, and we had to fill out a questionnaire, and then she asked me, "So, what is your life priorities?" And I just felt, oh, there the door opens, eh? I don't care about my job. My bosses know me. I'm going to shoot straight here. And literally, I just had opportunity to share the gospel with her. What my priorities is, it's God. It's spending time with Him. It's a church. It's my marriage. And where do I prioritize work? It's below all of that. Hear me out. Like, I do work hard, and I try and do well what I did, and I try and serve Jesus through it, but it's not my ultimate goal. It's not my aim for the week is to have a good week at work. It's to follow God, to look for His heart. So that was the life priority question, and I thought, okay, that was it. And then she asked me, "So tell me a bit about your years growing up." And I could just literally share my whole testimony with her. Yeah, and actually how I got, what I shared with you guys now, how I got saved, my brothers, who I was before and who I am now. So just, are we sharing the gospel? Are we looking for opportunities? Pray and ask the Lord, Lord, give me an opportunity to share. And then tying on to the previous scripture that was referring to the good fruit and the bad fruit. Like I share about my brother, like his fruit was so beautiful. I just wanted of it. I just wanted to taste it. I wanted to make it part of my life. Is there fruit in your life that others can see? Is it good fruit? Is it bad fruit? If you just think of an apple tree. The fruit is not just there for the tree to look beautiful. Someone's going to come and eat it, and it's going to bring nourishment to our souls. It's going to change us. It's going to give energy. The same, our good fruit that we bear needs to change people around us. So let's test ourselves constantly. What is the fruit? If you are in an area where there's bad fruit, spend time with the Lord. Try and realign. Come back so that we can get to a place where we have good fruit. You guys still with me? Okay. Then the next scripture is 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. And Paul writes, he says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." That's quite big. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Yes, and whenever I hear Kala preach, I've heard a lot of his preachers. I just want to say, in preparing for today, I was like, how does he do it without notes? Yes, that's literally just gifting. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. What did Paul and what did Jesus live for? They lived to take the gospel to the nations and to change the world. They wreaked havoc with the gospel that they spread, they were all killed at the end of the day. But they went, they took up the gospel, they shared it to change the world. So, is there efforts in our life to imitate them? Are we just coming on a Sunday, plugging in, plugging out, coming to common a Wednesday, plugging in, plugging out? Or is there consistent effort in our lives to really follow Jesus, to imitate him? The example is there for us. it's amongst us. If we share testimonies with each other, we're going to encourage one another to carry out the gospel. If I see someone's life change, if I see Charles' life changing, yes, man, that's super encouraging. Then I want to become more like him because he's picked up something of the gospel. If you ask Kala, Warren, Rensu, how their week was, yes, man, you're going to be blown away. These guys pour out their lives to see a healthy church come. I can really testify of that. If you ask them to share their life testimony since they got saved, you're going to be blown away. We have great examples amongst us of people striving to that, imitating Jesus, imitating Paul as they followed the Lord. Go ask them. Go spend time with them. You're going to be super encouraged. And you're going to want to share the gospel after that. And then just part of this, in imitating, how do we make it practical? Imitating Paul, imitating Jesus. Are you using what you have? Are you using your job to share the gospel? Are you using your finances? If you get a lot of money, are you generous with it? Are you using your degree? What is your plans for the next 5 years if you're still busy studying? When I studied geology, and I just thought, yes, I want to be an exploration geologist and go and work in the mines in Africa and make a lot of money and retire when I'm 35. That is literally, I know people that have done that. So I was just literally, I want to do that. And then I met Jesus and he touched my heart and my life changed completely. And luckily, I'm standing here now. So, are you generous? Are you giving towards God's church? Are you giving your life? Sometimes we think it's all these massive things that need to happen. But if we start changing small things in our life, like the basic, if we change the small things, it eventually becomes a beautiful change, a massive change over time. So yeah, let's look at the small things. Then the next scripture is 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2. I just want to grab some water. And yeah, this is again Paul writing to Timothy. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. And what I want to highlight here is we need to be ready to preach the word in season and out of season. So again, I want to ask, are you able and are you willing to preach the word in season, out of season? What is the message that you carry in your heart? Have you asked the Lord, what can I actually share with someone? Are you open for the Spirit to move through you if a situation arises where you need to share the gospel? I quickly want to share one story. In 2017, I was still living in Bloemfontein. Yes, man, and I had a lot of time. If you're a student, you have a lot of time. You must enjoy it while you can. And there was a Friday evening, and I drove to the Celtics garage just around the corner from our house. And I drove an old 1981 Mercedes-Benz. It was heavy on fuel, eh? And I got to the garage, and I liked interacting with the fuel attendants. Is it what you call it, a petrol jockey? And Friday evening, so the guy asked me, yes, man, you're probably going to have a lekker kuier over the weekend, and you're going to have a party and all of that. And I just felt the Lord highlight to me, like, this is the moment. Yes, and I could just share, his name is Freddie. I could just share with Freddie, hey, man, that's not my intention for this weekend, and that's not my heart. That's not what we're supposed to live for. I was there, but Jesus came, and he changed my life. And because my car was so heavy on fuel, I had to go there once or twice every week. So that's like between four and eight times a month that I went. And I chose, I'm going to go to that Caltex every time I need to fill up so that I can see Freddie, so that I can speak to him. And eventually I invited him to church, and he started coming to church. Yes, and he became part of our community. It is tough, like working hours and everything, but he became part of our church. We invited him into our house. He saw how we lived. And all of that just from him asking a question, hey, you're probably going to party this weekend. Are we looking for those opportunities to actually share the gospel? I still have contact with him. It's a challenge, but it's difficult when someone lives in a different place. We gave him opportunity to witness our lives in fellowship. And then I moved to Somerset West in 2019. And yes, moving from the Free State to the Western Cape is a difficult thing. Just the people are very different. And I actually struggled to make friends in that year. And I was like, yes, Jesus, I have so much time now. What can I do? And I just trusted him for the next Freddie. And so the shopping center I went to, I met a car guard the one day, Regan. I think Ruan also met him. I just started interacting with him, just finding out how was his day. And eventually the door opened for me to actually start sharing the gospel. And I could find out, okay, he is in a church, but it's not a healthy church. And I could start just sharing with him. I think he lived in Eersterivier. It was difficult to actually get him here to church, but we invited him over for a meal. He could see our way of doing, and are you ready in and out of season to share the gospel? If someone pitches up, is the door open? Just be ready and just open the door for Jesus. He will come and he will, like, I didn't have a set plan. This is how it's going to look. He will come and he will use you. He will work through you. And Regan went back to the Congo a few months ago. Yes, and I got a surprise call. Just like, how are you doing? Yes, man. And that just makes your heart so amped. Like, we could deposit something in his life. And not to boast in it. It's just to see the result of it. It's amazing. Okay. Then, next scripture. It's Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 16. So from here, it starts becoming a bit more practical. How does it actually look? Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes His body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And what I want to highlight here, each part of the body needs to play its part so that it can grow and be healthy. And at the end of the day, as I mentioned earlier, this is all about reflecting a healthy image of the church. It's Jesus' vehicle for reaching people. Like if you bring someone here on a Sunday and we have a healthy community living here, if you invite them into your house, to community, yes, man, if that's a beautiful picture, someone's going to be drawn to that. They're going to want a taste of it. They want to come here and drink of it. And we all have a part to play in that. If my leg is not functioning, I'm going to struggle. We all need to take part of it. We all need to give ourselves for this. We all need to try and reflect Jesus with our lives in the way that we live. Then next scripture, Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." In the setting you find yourself in the week, if it's at work or whatever you do, if it's studying, if it's just seeing people during the week, like how many people you are interacting with don't know Jesus? For me, it's many. So the harvest is literally right around me. All I need to do is just try and live as best as I can and follow Jesus as good as I can to display Him. The harvest is out there. It's ready for us. And if you don't know how to approach it, pray to the Lord of the harvest to bring in the harvest. Ask Him to use you. Is our hearts on fire for that? Is it a desire in our hearts? If it isn't, yes, guys, then our hearts should start changing. Like, do we want to see the harvest coming in? Do we want to see more churches being planted? Do we want to see the church becoming more healthy? I'm still good for time. Next scripture, Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. Oh, this is a beautiful scripture. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. What treasures are we building? Many times I find myself, I work so hard and then I start thinking about, yes, I still need to buy a house. How am I going to do that? And I need to grow to this position at work. How am I going to do that? And yes, then luckily the Holy Spirit comes and He shows me, hey man, what are you busy with? Yes, what are these thoughts? Just I constantly pray like, Lord, please remind me, help me to stay on track. I do get those thoughts. It comes to me and I see, yes, if we have a family, what car are we going to drive? Yes, medical aid, all that stuff. It's just worldly thoughts that come into my mind, but then I start realizing, yes, this is not heavenly treasures. That's all worldly treasures. There's guys amongst us that are living it out so well. Like, look at them. Spend time with them. If you see someone that's doing this great in their lives, go and spend time with them. Get that from them. Hear their testimonies. Hear their struggle. Hear where they got breakthrough. Like, learn it from them. We need... our desire needs to be, our focus needs to be to build treasures in heaven. Andrew has said this many times. There's a song about thank you for giving to the Lord. Just, I don't know the story that well. I think many of you might have heard it. Just people arriving in heaven one day and people going up to the front and sharing something of their life. And then one guy going up and sharing, that's what you did there. brought me here today. It made me follow Jesus, and thank you for giving. It's just, yeah, that's eternal treasures, like the time that we give, the resources that we give. And it's not easier. It's a sacrifice. Yeah, I think that goes into the next scripture. Luke 14, verse 25 to 27. This is a very tough one. I thought, like, yeah, should I put it in here? But the gospel is accurate, and it's perfect, and it's life. Now, great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Yes, when I read the scripture this week, I was like, whoa, this is heavy, eh? How am I supposed to follow Jesus? Like, I love these things. And I need to go and I need to measure myself up to it. What is there in my life that I'm loving more than Jesus? And just context here, the word hate actually just means to love less. So you're not supposed to hate your mother and your brother and your father. It just means you should love them less than you love Jesus. With your family, we need to get the balance right, guys. How much time we spend with our family, how much time we spend with God. Just what are our life priorities in terms of that? It's a massive sacrifice. It's laying down our lives. And again, we have awesome examples right here amongst us of following Jesus. And Jesus and Paul is probably they're the ultimate example. So these three conditions of being a disciple of Jesus, according to the scripture. You must love your family less than you love Jesus. We have to pick up our cross and we have to suffer for him. And guys, suffering looks tough, but it produces much joy, eh? Heinrich and Laura, yes, sir. I just see you now. We suffered praying with them for like 3 days, but the joy to see them now here today, oh, it's massive, eh? But we suffered in those 3 days. and then renouncing all that we have and giving up our lives. That is what it is. That's according to scripture, what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. So what are the examples that we put our life after? Is it just someone around us or something that looks great? Or is it actually the word which is great, which is going to lead us? And then I wrote a paragraph. It's too long for me to remember, so I'm just going to read it out. We should all have one purpose, to be tied into the church and giving our lives to the church. One purpose, to make disciples and to see the church come into what it is supposed to be. And then the church is the vehicle to reach the people with the gospel. Does it make sense? I'll read it again. As I shall. We should all have one purpose, to be tied into the church and giving our lives to the church. One purpose, to make disciples and to see the church come into what it is supposed to be. Just when we went to the Netherlands last year on the outreach, I've been in church for probably, good church for probably 10 years now. Yes, but I haven't seen anything like that. And a lot of guys have preached, yes, the church is the vehicle through which the nations will be reached. But we saw a healthy church on that side, a church on fire. And literally, the leader there testified, if someone comes into church on a Sunday, the chance is very high they're going to get saved. Like, literally, it's so awesome there. Like, God's presence is there. They are active. They're looking for Jesus' heart. Like, the gifts are flowing. It's a healthy body on that side. And literally, guys are getting saved, like, miraculously. It's crazy. And then just as I was preparing for this, I sat next to the fireplace probably for the last 2 weeks. It was cold. just as we burn for Jesus, we are releasing heat for other people to start experiencing. And for that to happen, we need to be amongst the people, but we need to burn for Jesus. So if you aren't burning for Jesus, yes, man, pray, ask the Lord, bring that desire back. Pray with someone. Let the Lord come and fill you up from the inside. Don't do it by, don't try and psych yourself up or anything. Like, ask the Lord, just Lord, come and give me faith. Come and raise me up. Come and awaken my heart. Set a fire down in my soul. And then just quickly to end, how do we do this? just practically amongst ourselves, I have 3 points. We need to live in fellowship with other believers. I think I've mentioned this throughout as I'm sharing. We need to live with fellowship with other believers. As we hear testimonies from someone that had breakthrough or someone that got saved or a miracle that got happened, just man, that guy's knee just got healed as we prayed. Like, just I'm super stirred with that. Like, now I want to go pray again. just like, if as we hear testimonies of each other, it stirs us up, eh? It's going to prevent that we start drifting. And yes, drifting is super dangerous. Before you know it, you're far away from God. It happens to all of us. If you don't stay with God, if you don't seek His presence, you're going to drift. We need to equip ourselves with every opportunity we have to become more like Jesus. Like, there's the part of following Him, receiving Him into your life as your Savior. But then there's also the practical, like equipping ourselves. Paul writes and says, train yourselves to be godly. Are we giving ourselves to, if there's equipped times? The 412 conference that's coming up, like, are you giving yourself to that? Just go and hear the testimonies, how people's hearts have been changed by that. Paul has an awesome testimony from the 412 conference about 2-3 years ago. Go and ask him. Almost every time we go to a equip time, to a teaching, to a worship event, I don't know if one event that I didn't come away from that change. Like, are we giving ourselves to be equipped? We had quite a tough situation. Well, I feel we have it quite a lot. We had friends that invited us for a cycling tour in the Cedarburg about 2 years ago, and yes, man, we looked forward for it. You can just cycle in the Cedarburg for 3 days. It was over a long weekend. And we actually trained for it, got our bikes ready and everything. And we were invited to a previous one as well. But then we got sick, I think. We couldn't go. So we were like, yes, we have to attend this one. We can't drop the people. And then Kala sent me a message. Hey, Andre, there's a equip time coming up over that long weekend. It would be great if you guys can come. And I shared with them what I'm like, oh, this is a tough one. Eh? This is the test. Like, how are we going to approach this? And I think we battled a few days with it. But yes, at the end of the day, we just decided we're not going to go on that cycling. Eh? We're just going to leave that. And we went for the equip time for a whole long weekend. And I think we were tired at the time. And yes, man, that changed our lives. Like, literally, it put us in a different direction. So we will face tests in what do you say yes for? What do you say no for? Are we giving ourselves to be equipped? And then lastly, we need to, that's probably the most important, we need to stay close to God and protect our time and our intimacy with Him. Warren always shares this. If we're not close to God, if we don't have intimacy with Him, none of this is going to work. Then all of this will just become works. But if we get close to Him, if we get close to His heart, if we understand His heart, this will just flow out of us. And then I want to close off. Will Murray had his last preach with us. Yes, and that thing sticked. I think I can almost remember 60-70% of what he said. Like, it really just struck my heart. And when he closed off, he said, like, he sees everyone sitting in front of him, and they will try and follow Jesus, but not everyone will follow Him well. Not everyone will run the race well. So I just felt to remind us again today, like, do you want to run the race well? Are you willing to endure? Are you willing to suffer? To reflect a life that really shows you are following Jesus. Are we really willing to suffer for Him? So that's it for me. It's difficult to land it.
So Wow, it's convicting. But as I was sitting here, and the question, obviously, Jesus bought us, like full price, gave it all. We are not our own; we are His. You know, but if we would consider all of our lives, you know, how much of a percentage is the reality? How much do I love His? How much do I love on my own? And it's a variety. Some of us, we may be saved, but in the very essence of us, we're completely our own. Everything is based on how we make our decisions. We are the center, right? Thank you for getting me into heaven, but I'm the Lord. And so there's variety, and then there's variation, you know. But it is so cool, even what Yandre said. It's not 99% that He bought us. He fully bought us. My whole life is His. I'm fully, fully His. And it was quite convicting, you know, if you would reflect on your life, how much does He have me? And anyway, as that was happening, you know what I felt? I felt in my heart, as some of us reflect our lives, there's regret. And I felt like for some, God wants to touch the regret. And for some, God wants to say, yes, I reflect my life and there's regret. My life has been my own. But I feel like the Lord wants to redeem. And say, the regret is there, but don't let the regret consume you in the way that you're going to live your life. And so I just felt like to pray for regret of a life that hasn't always been the Lord's, right? If we can just close our eyes quickly. Father, I thank You for Your Spirit. I thank You for Your Spirit that convicts. I thank You for Your Spirit that convicts and empowers. Father, all of us have to reflect our lives and go like, oh Lord, compared to the price You've paid, we've come short, Lord. We've come short, Lord. My mind, my heart, my life is mine in so many areas. But I thank You, Lord, that You draw a line in the sand. And no matter how much and how long we've lived our life, Father, and how many times we've kept ourselves and hold on to ourselves, that You can redeem it this morning. Father, You can work in our lives. That from now on in to the end of our lives, we can carry the testimony that we were not our own, but we were His. And Father, I pray for every bit of regret that is on people, every bit of guilt that has in some way disqualified themselves to fully, fully run for You and fully give themselves to You. Father, we want to come and in Jesus' name, quiet the voice of the enemy. In Jesus' name. Father, we want to say, that in Jesus' name, You can redeem the regret. You can restore the years that the locusts have stolen. Father, and I pray from this time on, Father, that we will carry this testimony of a life that is ultimately lived by this thing. It was not our own. It was Yours. And Lord, I pray that in every heart, right now, Father, we will not allow the past to hold us. But Father, we will be able to live and give our hearts and say, here we are, Lord. This heart, this life, this time, this everything is Yours. We praise You, Lord, that You're not merely a God that condemns, but You're a God that empowers. We praise You and we honor You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, guys. Here we go. Your life, Lord.